My name is Tyler Fornes, and I am one of the co-hosts of the Good, the Bad, and the Hungy AEW podcast here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcasting Network. We take a broad scope approach to the world of All Elite Wrestling and the entire universe of Tony Khan. We talk about the big matches, the big stars, the promos, the storylines, and we also look at it from a big picture perspective. How are things going to change over the course of the next 10 years with AEW still in the picture? How are companies like WWE going to adapt and adjust to AEW? Are they going to be a similar way like they did with WCW in the late 1990s? Will there be a counterpunch? We talk about all of that and more on The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy every week on the Voices of Wrestling Network.
Do you like wrestling trivia? Then check out the 5-Star Match Game, the Pro Wrestling Quiz Show. I'm Joe Gagne, and every episode, I grill 3 contestants with 5 rounds of power-packed wrestling trivia. We have over 30 evergreen episodes in the archives covering WWE, AEW, Japan, Mexico, and much, 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 much more. Play along at home and check it out today.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
To the highway, in a brand new day, over the rainbow, gotta let it go. So far, fast to freedom, down, start tonight.
Welcome back to Open the Voice Gate for October 14th, 2025. We are members of the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. You can find us on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network feed or on our own dedicated Open the Voice Gate feed, wherever you get your podcasts. You can find us on social media at Open Voice Gate. If you'd like to donate to the show, click the link in the show notes. It'll take you to our redcircle.com landing site. You click the red boxes to sponsor this podcast. You can set up a one-time or reoccurring donation, no obligation whatsoever, but we would like to thank our previous donors. I'm one of your hosts. It's your old pal, Mike Spears, joined alongside your other host, Case Lowe. And Case, we're like in this kind of interesting time period, I feel like, right now within wrestling, where it seems like a lot of things are happening, but not necessarily fully happening. A lot of kind of stepping on toes right now. But the most important question I have to ask you is, Case, how were you holding up after the one-night reunion of Maraja and Sapa on Sunday?
Oh, God. You know, what can you say? Rio Saito stepping into the ring in 2025. I'm certainly filled with emotions. The way I could describe those emotions, perhaps a little bit more difficult. I know I'm paid to say words for a living, but yeah, no, it's... time waits for no man, and sometimes seeing both Genki Horiguchi and Rio Saito attempt to do things that they could have done easily 15 years ago, it does put a lump in your throat. And I guess I learned that I should go outside and enjoy sunshine and butterflies and things like that, because I get the feeling I did not enjoy the one night Maraja Asapa reunion as much as you did.
I just love the idea that Rio Saito showed up on Sunday, knew that he had only his 8th match of the year, and he was like, all right, guys, I've got this covered, and he just completely acted like a madman for 12 minutes. I think the thing that made it even funnier to me, Case, is that he did that right after there was an objective comedy. Objectively, it was a comedy match between Luis Monte and Takashi, and I just sat here watching this. I'm going, what is going on here? Is this what GM Rio Saito is running right now? Is essentially him just trying to essentially do comedy spots in his eighth match of the year. And I don't know. It was one of those things that that was like the big pressing question in the front of my head. Not who LCLO is. Not, well, how is this best of the Super Junior Tag League going to go for Dragon Gate? It was, Ryo Saito, what got into you?
Ryo Saito, what got into you? A great question. I have a question for you. I know the problem is, we talked for a good deal before we started recording tonight. And normally it's like, I'm already like, to me, it's like we're a half hour into the show already, even though we're not. But I know you were telling me that you spent a lot of time with the King of Sports, New Japan Pro Wrestling yesterday. Where are you at in terms of being caught up on what was once the green ring in Pro Wrestling Noah?
I have not watched that Sumo Hall show yet. That did not do very well.
Okay. Did it not? I have not seen attendance for that.
Brother, they did like 3,000.
Hmm. Yeah.
Let me get the exact number for you. 3617. 3617.
3617. Now I'm curious. Do you know what they did? And I'll look this up as I'm asking the question. But the last time they were in this building, I'm just curious to see what they had done. Although that might have been a Muto show. So.
I thought that they had an Ozawa date in the building already earlier this year.
5-3-25. They did 4,500. And then before that was Wrestle Magic, which they did 3,500. That was Kano versus Yamato on a Noah show. I don't remember that.
I mean, Ozawa, wrong guy is a wild man. I mean, they still let him do these Wrestle Magic shows where anything can happen, Case.
Yeah, wow. I don't remember that at all. And then there was the All Together show that did 6,500. They did in May of 2023, they did 2,700 with Jake Lee and Mara Fuji on top. And then here's what I was looking for. The junior show did 1,500. Okay, so they doubled the junior show from 2022. That was an outright disaster. So that's a positive, at least. The Hyo, SB Kento, and Shun Skywalker versus Alejandro Daisuke Harada and Junta Miyawaki match, which is an incredible historical anecdote in hindsight. But anyways, I bring up the green ring because I took time out of my day to check in and watch Hiromu Takahashi versus Eita. And I got to say, it's very weird watching a 2025 Eita match in which he's clearly the better and more athletic of the two competitors. I did not find it to be a great match. I did find Eita specifically to be very good in it.
It just seems that is Hiromu's issue whenever you take him out of New Japan, right? Like, it's at most a 3.5-star ceiling that he puts out in other promotions.
Well, this is, I mean, it going through the Hiromu stuff in 2023 when he was going to every promotion, it completely changed my outlook on him. And I guess, to lack of a better term, his legacy in my mind for the worst. Because even as we go through, say, you know, the Michinoku Pro stuff that we've gone through, and you see the presence that Onita has when he comes into Michinoku Pro, or you see what Otani did and what was not even a great match, or what Ultimo Dragon did when he showed up, where you see what happens when Sasuke goes to WAR or to FMW, there is just a certain archetype that I'm looking for from an invading junior heavyweight in Japanese wrestling. And Hiromu, whereas I would normally think he would be the most interesting of candidates to do that, has completely foregone any of that energy. And so, yeah, no, this was a Hiromu outing that was no different here than it would have been in New Japan. This match could have taken place in New Japan and not been any different. And given the way that Eita has assimilated himself into Noah and has become a real marketable figure and a known entity for being not a Dragon Gate wrestler turned Noah wrestler, but just simply a Noah wrestler, he has that level of agency to protect his home turf. And I don't feel like he and Hiromu got to that place at all.
Yeah, and I just, it feels so strained, Hiromu kind of doing this run, right? Like, it's clearly a case of there's nothing else going on for him right now, and they don't want him in the junior picture anymore. So it's like, go do this. And it's a situation that where I go and I watch King of Pro Wrestling, and it's just like, okay, he's here teaming with Titan and Shingo. This feels about right with it. Oh, wait, he's GHC Junior Heavyweight Champion. yeah, I guess that's true. Okay, let's go along with the rest of the show. And it just, it feels like it's its own, like, completely ancillary kind of thing that I, it, other than the idea of, like, Hiromu being, like, this name going into Noah, and especially, like, all things considered, you would want Hiromu coming in there to headline a show like this, like the in a building where you laid out that they've had issues over the last 4 years, and they seem to have something with Ozawa, and with him out, it's been hurting. And I don't know. I just feel like that it's a very awkward kind of situation, and it does not. And for, like, wouldn't, like, the point be, okay, if Eita is not winning, I guess it's now, who is challenging after Eita? I had this pulled up a second ago. It was Junta Miyawaki is supposed to be the defender of Noah after this. Like, I just don't get necessarily, like, the timing of this. And other than the only explanation being, well, Hiromu has a lot of free time right now, so here you go.
But he's had a lot, the bummer there is that he's had a lot of free time over the last few years, and this style of Hiromu touring match has just never taken another step in any sort of interesting direction, and so that's a bit of a bummer. I will say, if you're somebody who misses Eita and Dragon Gate, I do think it's worth a watch, because again, it's a, you know, 3.5, maybe, if you're feeling really generous, 3.75 star match, but it's a really good Eita performance, and it had been quite a while since I had seen him wrestle, and I did enjoy seeing him in that context. So well done to him.
It seems like, from whenever I've like stopped in and seen him, he seems like he's in a lot better physical shape than he was 2 years ago, finishing up in Dragon Gate at the very least.
Think about, and I'm gonna pull up his matches per year, because the guy has to be wrestling way less than ever, and God, he's only 33. Can you believe that?
Yeah, it's wild thinking, like, okay, we've essentially have seen this guy for now. His 15th anniversary is coming up next year, man.
God. Okay, so from 2016 to now, and you got to think about, you know, this is him coming off of an injury in 2015. And then, you know, Eita, as we know him, and unfortunately, you know, I think there's parts of Eita where we go, ah, I wish I would have had that guy around a little bit longer. But that, by and large, begins in 2016. So 2016, he wrestles 162 matches. 2017, 175. 2018, 176. 2019, 180. 2020, 111. That's the pandemic year. 2021, 152. 2022, 165. And then 2023 is when he takes over working Noah, primarily more Noah dates than Dragon Gate. He goes 96 matches in 2023, and that's with a split schedule. 62 matches last year, doing an overwhelming majority of Noah, and he's at 60 matches this year doing exclusively Noah.
So he's essentially getting to wrestle 40% of the time that he had to wrestle at his peak days. And really, when you, like, look at those 2017, really through 2022, he is as healthy as anyone else on the roster. I feel like there's very few months that Eita has less than 8 matches. Like, and most of them are between 15 and 17 matches outside of COVID. And you compare that now to a nice leisurely 8, you know, an eight match month in his peak Dragon Gate days would have been the lightest month of his year. And now that's kind of the most that he has to wrestle, like, twice a week. So, I mean, great for him. Like,
2025, his match count: January 7, February 7, March 7, April 6, May 9, June 7, July 8, August 5, September 2. And as we're halfway through October, 2 matches.
And September and October, you had N1 victory too. So, mm-hmm. Like, he essentially got to have essentially a 4 week stretch out. It's awesome for him, you know. Like, the more I think about it, and the way that things went for Eita, I mean, good for him. Now he's able to work that schedule. He's a clearly, as you laid out, a valued and now really feels like an actual piece of the Noah puzzle, and it kind of solves everyone's problems in a way. Sometimes you look at jumps and you see, like, Goshi Ozaki ending up straight back in All Japan, and it's like, okay, yeah, no, that's fair, but you go, like, well, that kind of leaves a bad taste in your mouth. But then you look at a jump like Ata, and I don't think that there's a loser other than people who, native fans going to Dragon Gate shows who want to buy specifically Noah merch. But odds are, if there are those Ata fans, they went on to Noah. I mean, that's the loss.
I just think about, you know, in 2019, when you and I weren't even doing weekly shows at that point, but in 2019 and 2020 and 2021, just the amount of time that we would spend talking about Ata, with the primary topic of conversation being, what is this? What's the ceiling? What's the floor? I don't know what to make of this guy. He's pushed like a star. He doesn't come across like a star. Did Pac bail him out? Would he have been fine leading RED without Pac ever coming back in? There was so much uncertainty. And then as we got into the Zebrats era, and it seemed like maybe he was going to do something with Maria, and then it ends up being the Peros del Mal thing, and, you know, he has got the match with Yoshioka at the end of 2022, and he was nice enough. You know, my understanding of the story is, you know, he was nice enough to slowly phase out of Dragon Gate given all the other losses they had suffered, but canonically his Dragon Gate career ends in November of 2022. And as a fan and an analyst, it's really nice to not have those Ata conversations, because he's one of the more maddening wrestlers that I've ever had to cover. But also, on the flip side, the human element is he seems to be valued in Noah, he seems to be healthier, like you said. And it seems to be a good deal for everyone involved. Dragon Gate has been okay, seemingly without Ata. Noah gets a junior that they can push that has some name recognition. And Ata seems to be interested in what he's doing there. So it couldn't have gone better from all three of those fronts. And that Hiromu match, again, I was hoping it would be something a little bit better. I was really intrigued by that match on paper. I think Ata held up his end of the deal, and I think Hiromu in 2025 was Hiromu, which I do not mean as a compliment.
Yeah, no, and let me tell you, it was not like he was doing a whole lot other than shaking Wardog's hands in Sumo Hall. So he had a pretty subdued 72 hours in Tokyo, now that I really think of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. Very much so. Speaking of invading wrestlers, Mike, our lead topic tonight, one that we were not, or at least I was not planning on when I woke up this morning, but we have some more cross-promotion stuff to talk about, don't we?
That is right, as New Japan's about to launch their Super Junior Tag League coming up at the end of October, first week of November. It was announced today that there will be three participants from Dragon Gate in the Super Junior Tag League, as it is Dragon Daya making his, what is now kind of like the accepted kind of outsider return, teaming with Ryusuke Taguchi for the second year. But also Yamato teaming with Tiger Mask 4, as well as, probably to me, a little bit the surprise of it, Yuki Yoshioka teaming with Kushida. Case, I think that there's a lot of different angles we kind of want to go from this, and we'll get into it. But I think first and foremost, the surprise, your initial takeaways of Yamato, Daya, and Yoshioka being in Super Junior Tag League this year.
Well, I like the continued inclusion of Daya. You know, I think when he first, you know, replaced Taguchi, that was last year. Was that 2 years ago? It was last year, right?
Last year in Best of the Super Juniors, and then they teamed in the Super Junior Tag League, which does not roll off the tongue very well.
And Taguchi did that Korakuen outing for Dragon Gate, which I had really high hopes for. I just thought he was going to capture lightning in a bottle on that night, and he did not, and I was very disappointed by that. But it's apparent now, you know, 18 months into this Dragon Daya New Japan relationship, that whoever is booking the New Japan Juniors, which from my understanding is not Gato, and that Gato has very little to do with the juniors at this point in time, that whoever is booking the juniors values Dragon Daya, and that Daya, whether it be the time in New Japan, the fact that he's now entering his seventh year as a pro wrestler and has been now healthy for a large period of time, whether it's just the reps of being in Dragon Gate constantly, I don't know what it is. But there's direct correlation between Daya working New Japan, and especially the Super Junior Tag Tour last year, and him really taking a level up, not only in terms of raising his ceiling of what he's capable of in terms of having a great match, but raising his floor. And I do think he's become one of those guys where now, whether it's, you know, two Fukuoka shows like these that we're going to review, which, to be honest, I did not love either of these shows, or it's Osaka or Korakuen or a big show, I now have a higher expectation of Daya and what he's going to do. And that, like I said, directly aligns with him working New Japan. So I'm very happy for him. As for Yoshioka and Yamato, did not see those coming. I'm delighted by that.
Yeah, I think it's kind of neat that you have Yamato from Awate and Tohoku, and he's teaming with Tiger Mask 4, who, if you're listening to Open the Voice Gate and those days concurrently, he has not debuted yet, but he debuts into Michinoku Pro. He's from the Tokyo area, but his career basically up to 2012 was all devoted around Michinoku Pro. So you have kind of that Tohoku tag team, whereas Yoshioka and Kushida, man, I guess this is kind of like payback, like for Tanahashi. Now Yoshioka gets to kind of go in there. Like, he's more of kind of the open, like, oh, okay, that, sure, Yoshioka, that's there for it. I do like the touch that Daya and Yoshioka are not only not teaming during this tournament, they are in separate blocks as well, because I think that if you had them go as D Courage, then you're going to get into like the political ramifications of, oh, a tag team champions from another company being in a invading team in a tag team tournament. That's going to make some complications for you. So the answer is split them up. Daya already had a relationship with Taguchi, and Yoshioka Kushida, who knows? They kind of look alike. I mean, that has kind of been the thing of Yuki Yoshioka.
Yeah, no, it absolutely has. I mean, that was the whole joke on the Miyagi show last month, was that he and Mao look identical to each other.
Yeah, and I've seen similar things about Kushida and him. So it's like a neat thing for Yoshioka to kind of get that stage for it. And I think other than like the deepening relationship, you know, between Dragon Gate and New Japan, and also Dragon Gate being oddly the one company that Seoul works with All Japan at the same time, is just kind of in the way a connective tissue. I don't know if I would say any of this is related to United Japan whatsoever, but what we've seen over the last real 36 months is Dragon Gate and New Japan really kind of, they've always had a little bit of a give and take, and it's always been, never been necessarily a negative relationship by any means. But really, around the time that Shingo Takagi came and did a guest spot at Final Gate, from there on, Dragon Gate and New Japan, it seems like that they've continually have seen reasons why to have this kind of relationship.
Well, there's two points in that. One is that the one time that Dragon Gate fell out of favor was when it seemed like there was a political push for Shima, Lindemann, and T-Hawk to make their presence felt in New Japan, and I was incredibly excited about that. I thought Lindemann, by this point in time, so that was, I think, 2022 was when Shima did the New Japan Cup, and there's a lot of Lindemann and T-Hawk in New Japan all of a sudden.
Yeah.
If you would have told me in 2022, you know, watching that footage, I would have predicted by now that Lindemann would have won a Super Juniors tournament. And somehow, some way, I don't know the story, I don't know if anybody does, but whatever investment that was there in Strong Hearts went away very quickly. And just through luck, you know, but in the case of Dragon Daya, you know, the Taguchi injury happened, Daya got brought in, and we've seen a real uptick in their relationship since. I attribute that to something that Yamato talked very openly about during the All-Star Junior Festival in 2023. And as it was described to us, it was, you know, something where maybe Yamato was working to a degree to hype up this show, but his feelings were rooted in the truth that he's annoyed that when a Japanese company needs a little spice, they need a little action, whether it be in the undercard or their main events, that's when they seem to give Dragon Gate a call. This is a company that can't get on the cover of a magazine to save their life. The way they've always been talked about in the Japanese press and in the English-speaking press has always been bizarre, but every company knows that if you need action and you need heads to turn, you give Dragon Gate a call. And Yamato talked about being very annoyed by that in 2023 when Hiromu was setting up the All-Star Junior Festival. And as I think anybody that's listened to this show before knows, I arm's length would not be an accurate description of my relationship with New Japan at this point. I am hands off, hiding in another room. It's a promotion that scares me. I don't understand it. I don't understand how things work in this promotion anymore. But
I don't think they understand how it works anymore, to be fair, Case.
Exactly. And if you go through and I wanna break down these blocks, not because I wanna pretend that I can accurately predict New Japan booking. I have no feel for this tournament whatsoever, but you look at the homegrown names on this roster. And they needed some outside help. They needed a little something. And coming away from the announcement today of the Super Junior Tag League, maybe it's just my curated algorithm, but it was people talking about how excited they were for Daya, Yoshioka, Yamato, and to some degree Templario, more so than they were for, as great as they are, Robbie Eagles and Kosei Fujita tagging yet again in a tag league. And they're great. I can't wait to see them work, but it was the outsiders that once again garnered the attention, garnered the buzz. I don't feel like, and again, this is where maybe the true diehard New Japan fan disagrees with me, but I don't see a homegrown team versus a homegrown team matchup in this entire tournament that really excites me. I mean, maybe Eagles and Fujita against Ishimori and Robbie X, but my patience for Ishimori in 2025 is quite limited, and I feel like I hung on to positive feelings for this guy longer than most people did. I don't want to see Yo and Master Wato versus Dookie and Sho. I was devastated when they brought back Dookie the way that they did and turned him, because Dookie was one of the guys that I was hanging on to that I really enjoyed watching. I unironically thought he had transformed himself into a top-level junior, an utterly incredible wrestler, but him doing that gimmick, like, I don't want to see that. I mean, this A block, I think, is pretty rough looking.
Yeah, and I think, like, the whole, so Mushozoku, unaffiliated now, are kind of in a working agreement with Bullet Club War Dogs, and that kind of, it tries to give freshness to this, but in reality, what you have done in this A block is, instead of having like an interesting Hiromu Takahashi and Daiki Nagai kind of tag team going like, okay, the junior ace now with the young boy, like his unit's young boy, that kind of thing. You have Hiromu teaming with Gato during this tournament, and you have Clark Connors teaming with Daiki Nagai. And that just completely, at least for me as someone that I guess my New Japan kind of situation for me is I'm a Big Show, Parachuter, or G1 at this point. And you like look at this and with them kind of doing this kind of shakeup to be able to do this, you have an A block that basically your three regular tag teams are Yo and Wato. Templario, when he's in Japan, ends up teaming with Jacob Austin Young, and then Doki and Sho. And it does not, like, really, at least to me, it's not a whole lot of matchups I'm really excited about seeing Daya in, to be quite frank. Whereas when I look at that B block, and maybe it is that you also have like Desperado and Kukai as a team, and like that newest to it, like the B block, I feel like is infinitely more interesting, even though I know that you're in for a bad time with Kanemaru and Togo. Like there's at least, it feels like such a badly weighted tournament, at least for like general interest. I feel like most people would just, if you're like a dyed in the wool New Japan viewer, the B block is like miles better than the A block.
I would think so. The A block is Taguchi and Daya, Yo and Master Wato, Hiromu Takahashi and Gato, Clark Connors and Daiki Nagai, Templario and Jacob Austin Young, and Doki and Sho. The B block, like you said, El Desperado and Kukai, who I really like. That guy worked a lot in Mexico with TN Revolucion and La Estrella when they first went over to Mexico. Tiger Mask 4 and Yamato, Kushida and Yuki Yoshioka, Robbie Eagles and Kosei Fujita, Taiji Ishimori and Robbie X, and Kanemaru and Dick Togo. And you're right. That B block, I'm into. I want to see that entire block. You know, they're going to kick it off in Korakuen with Kushida and Yoshioka against Tiger Mask and Yamato. And I'm really into that. I'm really into Eagles and Fujita versus Desperado and Kukai. I'm really into everything that Kushida and Yoshioka are going to be involved in. I think that's a really intriguing tag team. And because this tournament wraps up in Gifu on the final Hiroshi Tanahashi homecoming show, I don't think it's crazy to think that Kushida and Yoshioka might make the finals of this tournament.
Yeah, it does kind of, like, position-wise, it does it's weird because Kushida is so clearly on the way out and is someone who's only brought in to fill out numbers at this point. But it is the thing that if you're playing a wrestling booking simulator and you put this tag team together, they would be the ones that the computers would choose to win the tournament, right? Like, it just kind of feels like this. And then looking at this also from like a Dragon System perspective. So this tournament starts on the 23rd and it finishes on the 2nd. Dragon Gate, really, when you look at how everything is set up, you have this weekend they are in Kobe for Lapis Arts Hall, or they're doing the Kobe Arts Hall, and then on Friday they're going to be in Lapis for King of Chop. And then after that, Dragon Gate's not running a super active end of October, start of November. So really, the show, that Gifu show is that one kind of question about is if they're going to be able to make that Osaka number 2 show that's happening at the same time as the Tanahashi show in the Super Juniors finals.
That's true. That's a tough scheduling conflict.
Yeah, but I mean, outside of that, I mean, Dragon Gate's month is essentially over. So why not? We've seen, especially with older wrestlers, especially some of like of your Mochizukis and others, go and wrestle elsewhere when Dragon Gate's not working. So I mean, this way, yeah, they're probably going to miss that KBS Hall show on the 25th and that Osaka show, but in the greater scheme of things, you got that tag title match with Panther Brothers done. Kind of, it does kind of feel like that they fitted in while Panther Brothers were here before Yoshioka and Dyer can go do New Japan things. But it's not like I look at this as like, okay, when Best of the Super Juniors happens, we just wave bye-bye to Daya for a month. This one is if you're going back and like looking through Dragon Gate shows, I feel like you'd be like, oh, did they have a stomach flu and that's why they weren't around for that weekend? It would not cross your mind necessarily in hindsight to think that this is going to be something that's going to take them out for a long period of time.
I'm with you. I'm going to be following this. I'm really intrigued by the B block. I'm interested to see what level of effort we get out of Yamato, specifically that opening night, Tiger Mask, Yamato, Kushida, Yoshioka tag. I want that to be something great. I don't know if we'll get something great out of it, but I'm really excited about that match on paper. And I think, I mean, what, you know, Daya and Taguchi, they're, I think, in the semi-main event on night one, and the main event on night two, I believe, in Korakuen. And so you can't ignore that either. You know, they continue to bring back Daya. He appears to be well-liked by whoever is booking the junior division at this point. And while I feel very strongly that the finals of this tournament will not be D-Courage exploding, it would not shock me at all if the finals of this tournament features one member of D-Courage.
Yeah, I think that's a... That there's a good chance with that. But Case, that's not the only kind of tournament news that we had that came out this week. As we talked about extensively last week, King of Gate is on our radar. It's going to be kicking off in the next few weeks, at the next Korakuen show in particular. But we're getting to see who that last member of King of Gate is and who Strong Machine J's opponent is coming up at this Art Center double shot. The participants are announced for the Royal Sambo Case, and I want to take you through them and let's talk about the chances of these people making the tournament.
Let's do it. Walk me through it.
All right. First and foremost, Ultimo Dragon is in the Royal Sambo Case. Let's just get this out of the way. No. Don Fuji.
I don't think so. I'm also going to go no on Don Fuji.
Yeah, Genki Horiguchi, busy weekend for Genki, getting making appearances on both of the Hakata shows when he's not necessarily on every televised Dragon Gate show these days. Does Genki Horiguchi make the field of 32?
I'm not seeing that one either.
Satyoko Boy.
No, I think we're 10 years past a possibility there.
That's very fair. And speaking of 10 years past that point, Problem Dragon.
No.
Daiki Yanagiuchi.
He would not be the young guy that I think has a shot in this one. I would love it. I think it'd be fascinating. I would like to see him in more singles matches. I don't think this is going to happen for him this year, though.
Akihiro Sahara.
Nope, and I would like it, but I don't see that one. I think he's at the bottom of the pecking order right now.
Kazuma Kimura.
Now, this I like. This intrigues me. I would say of all the names you've mentioned so far, I would say that he's the most likely to get into the field. I do not think he will, but I also can't ignore it entirely.
Our friend Ho-Ho Loon.
Ho-Ho, God bless you, but I do not think King of Gate is in your future this year.
Arrow Panther and Fight Panther Jr.
I don't think King of Gate is going to be where they make their living this year. I do hope that Dragon Gate can figure out a way to get them in Japan for Rey de Parejas next year, but I don't think King of Gate is going to be the tournament for them.
In case, honestly, this whole list was a leading question to what's going to be the next topic. LCLO is the last name.
Yes,
on that list.
I think we are getting a King of Gate appearance from LCLO.
So we now know that after the events of Across Fukuoka on Sunday, that Shun's Masked Man has a name. It is LCLO, which is very fitting for Shun Skywalker. Of course, his finisher with Diamante was Cielo Finale, and other references, Cielo is Spanish for sky. And it seems very much so, especially like looking a little bit ahead, he's going to be in this battle royal. And then on the next day show, we are getting Shun Mare and Cielo versus Kakuta, Kai, and Ishin. The mystery man is going to be in action this weekend, Case.
I can't wait. I'm really intrigued by the fact that in that Royal Sambo, there's no heel members in it, which I feel like really opens the path for Cielo and Kimura to steal the show there. Yeah. I guess Kai would maybe be the only one that's not in King of Gate that would have a shot of being in that match. Is Kato in King of Gate?
Kato is. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm intrigued by that, the fact that there's no heels in that match. And so I think it's going to come down to those two big guys. And I think Cielo will win. And given his presentation so far and the lack of what we know about him, I can't wait. They have my attention with the Battle Royal, which they have not had in quite a while.
Yeah. And it's kind of interesting, at least, how they have had Cielo kind of conduct himself. He did not make an appearance on the afternoon show from Fukuoka. He did, of course, showed up for Shun Mari's tag match in the evening and stepped into the ring. I have like two theories that I've heard that I really like, but I kind of want to go into the mystery and hope that like whoever this Cielo guy is, I just, in a lot of ways, as interesting as it could be to be maybe Takuma Nishikawa or Fire Kasumi from recently departing for JTO, there's a part of me that kind of like maybe Daya and Dragon Kid picked up a new friend over in Germany, and now this guy is mysteriously under a mask, and we get like a mystery of who is this guy for a while. But I'm absolutely compelled about LCLO, and especially seeing that it's provided like a good stopping point between, like, we have a couple of weeks before the next Tokyo Cork and Hall show. The fact that at least on the network and going show to show, at least network wise, we're not stringing this out until November to see who this guy is.
So just to make sure I'm correct, I'm glad you said all of that, because I could have very easily missed something, whether it be a promo on this show or on the Corkin show. But I think the assumption was that this guy had debuted under a mask, but we were very going to quickly see him unmasked. That was never said in a promo, right? We're all just speculating that he's going to take that mask off.
I think that people are just speculating who's under the mask, that it's coming off.
Okay. I gotcha. I was planning on coming on here and saying that I thought the guy under the mask was Kukai, who is teaming with El Desperado in the Super Junior Tag League, but that is because I completely forgot that he had had that relationship, and I knew that he was New Japan bound. And once that happened, all of the air in my sails went away, and now I really don't know who it is. And I'm happy not knowing. I'm having fun with all the speculation. I'm having fun with a new masked character in wrestling. I think we should have way more masked characters in wrestling. I think Lee Moriarty's career would be saved if they put him under a Super Delphin mask and had him wrestle all over the place looking like that. I'm all for it. I don't know who he is, but I think he's going to win this battle royal, and I'm quite intrigued to see what he does next week.
Kukai is much shorter than Shun Skywalker, so that wouldn't have worked.
Ah, that is a bummer.
But it's just a whole lot of fun. I'm going to be stoked to see the shows in Kobe Art Center. And we'll talk about the cards before we get out of here. But as the company doesn't necessarily have that tentpole show to base things on in the fall, I feel like that at least providing these things to Kobe Art Center and the Kobe base, because you're doing so much stuff in Cork, and it's nice to have reminders that it's not just a Tokyo-based company, that this is a Kobe-born and Kobe-bred company.
Yeah, very much so. Very much so. I don't have anything to add. I thought I had something, but I don't, so I'm going to throw it back to
no
you.
No worries.
Man, I thought I was really. I was like, oh, man, I have something else to say, and it's not even that I forgot it. I got nothing.
You got nothing? Hey, man, that's fine. We're okay with that. Let's talk about these Fukuoka shows from Sunday across Fukuoka, afternoon, evening. Just overall, just off the top of your head, these kind of doubleheaders that Dragon Gate does in Fukuoka, we've been through it for a couple of years. And at least for me, I'll just give mine kind of off the top first. Outside of some stuff happening on that afternoon session, this kind of, in a lot of ways, was a very two shows, I felt like, in Fukuoka.
Not bad, but a little drier than I think what we've been getting out of Kobe and out of Kyoto and out of Osaka, and even the last, like, I really liked the last Fukuoka double shot they had. And I had nothing between these two shows that would have touched the spreadsheet. I had some stuff that I thought was good, but this felt to be as much filler as I've seen in Dragon Gate in quite some time.
Yeah, and really, that they built this around King of Gate previews. They in the afternoon session after the main event, they got the six men out that were going to be in the main event in the next night. Daya, Yoshioka, Yamato, Susumu, Ben, and KZ, and they had kids draw portraits, like random drawing, to do the teams with it. But that was kind of the basis around the evening session. And just overall, like, the Cielo moments were notable with it, but it kind of, the people that ended up, like, I having the strongest takeaway from in this, and similar to last week, is Panther Brothers have what I think is a very good, not great Twin Gate match with Yoshioka and Daya. And the Panther Brothers have a pretty interesting opener with Ryoya Tanaka and Fuda in the evening session. I kind of came away with them at the forefront of my mind coming out of Fukuoka.
I thought the stars of the weekend were the Panther Brothers and Ishin. Ishin, I thought, was brilliant in both of his matches. I always talk about the sort of Kurt Angleification with him, where he's so good at being funny and being a character that it takes away from the fact that he's so good at being a serious wrestler. And what I like, especially post-ladder match, is that we've seen more of Ishin as a capital W wrestler. And I really, really like seeing that. I thought he was just phenomenal on both of these shows. I don't know the Panther Brothers. I've never talked to them. I don't know what they like, what they're into, what their career goals are. I am so fascinated by what this relationship with Dragon Gate is going to turn into, because they are not the best foreign wrestlers to ever come in to Dragon Gate. You know, I think the base that Matt Sydal had, the base that Pac had, even the base that I think a 2005 Jack Evans had, I think those guys were better wrestlers than either of the Panthers at this point. But I think these guys are such a natural fit for this roster. And I think they can copy the career path of Flamita and spend a decade calling this place home and succeed at a high level if they would like to. And I can say that coming out of three televised matches. I am blown away by just how quickly these guys have assimilated onto this roster and how I really don't want to see them go anywhere. I don't know how long their tour is, but I want them here. I want them wrestling everybody. I thought they stepped up to the plate once again, had a really good, like you said, not great match, just like they did in Cork and for the Twin Gate belts. But I would expect that from Daya and Yoshioka and what was, you know, a showcase match where the crowd started off pretty cold, and then by the end of it, all four of them seemed to win the crowd over. I was more impressed by the the opening match on the second night with Fuda and Tanaka, or I'm sorry, on the evening show, not the second night, but the second show, I was more impressed by that match because that had such a greater risk involved with it, with Fuda specifically, and just two young wrestlers, two new wrestlers in Dragon Gate. That match could have fallen apart so easily, and it didn't. It was a really fun TV style match. I think the world of these guys through three televised appearances.
Yeah, in a lot of ways, the evening match was the real tell on, at least for me, about like how quickly they have assimilated. Like, obviously, they've trained with these guys last year, so they're not coming in completely cold and unfamiliar. But being able to see, especially Aero Panther versus Rio Fuda and the kind of sequences they were able to do in that opener on the evening session, that not only was like a real credit to the Panther Brothers showing like, okay, not only are we able to do the spot fest you have in Cork and or try to put together a Twin Gate match against the biggest tag team in the company, but also we're able to work with the rank and file of the roster, and reflexively Fuda stepping up and being able to be like a great piece in that match. And I thought that him and Tanaka had some kind of fun chemistry and double teams they kind of put together for it. This was a match that I felt like drastically overachieved, and it really showed like not only the Panther Brothers, I want them to stay as long as they can, and especially when we look to Rey de Parejas 2026, if there's plane tickets, there's two of them that are already spoken for the Panther Brothers. But I mean, it was nice to see from Fuda being able to acclimate himself into that kind of situation as well.
Look, I'm always very critical of Fuda. I say that I don't know if he's capable of greatness without a Mochizuki in the ring. No Mochizuki to be found here, and I thought he held his own. So a big win for all involved. And as these cards continue to be unveiled throughout the rest of this tour, I know we're not getting a ton of televised footage as we hit this lull at the end of the year, which of course coincides with King of Gate, because why would it not? You know, my eyes are darting towards, okay, what are the Panthers doing going forward? And it just so happens that on that second Kobe Art Center show, they're going to be against Kame and Rita. And that has my full attention. I cannot wait to see that match. It has a chance to be absolutely spectacular.
Yeah, the match I'm kind of kicking myself that we're not getting to see is in Nanao the day before that in Ishikawa, Shun Mare versus the Panther Brothers.
Oh, that's a bummer. I didn't see that was happening. Yeah, okay, yeah, and semi-main event too. I look, every match the Panthers have had, when you go through these cards, you know, Monte and Fuda on the 13th, I would like to see that. They were obviously in Fukuoka on the 12th, but if I scroll back to what they were doing on the 11th, it was... That's probably the weakest match they've had so far on paper, was D-Courage against Genki and the Panthers, but everything they've done since getting there on paper has looked like a match that I would like to see, and I wish we were getting more of those. I think it's a bummer that we're not.
Yeah, a couple notes on that Twin Gate. It's fun to see kind of the chemistry develop between the guys during the match. Like the Panther Brothers and Yuki Yoshioka, I don't think they have like completely smooth chemistry, but when you have like a moment where Aero Panther does an apron shooting star just to eat a taupe, I'm just going to really smile. And they had that fun superplex variant going into it. Then a closing stretch where Yuki Yoshioka just kicked, I think it was Aero Panther, straight in the head while he was doing AK Brada. And those were moments that if you're able to surprise me like that and get a chuckle out of me, I'm going to have a good time. And it was really nice to see in that afternoon session. I thought that, is there probably a better match between these two teams on paper? Probably, but at least as an introduction to the Panther Brothers and seeing where they kind of slot into the upper echelon of Dragon's Gate tag teams in 2025, it was a real strong performance from them there. And then, as we were talking about later on that day, against an impromptu tag team,
you hit on all the spots of the Twin Gate match that I really liked. The others I'll add was the Panther Brothers themselves did sort of, I called it in my notes, a merry-go-round Asai Moonsault. I don't totally know what that means, but they
I
were...
I have it as a do-si-do quebrada.
Oh, God, you get me. That is so... It's so nice to know you know exactly what I was talking about. I thought that spot was fantastic. The other thing that they did which got a big reaction out of me. And this was right around the time that it seemed like they won the crowd over, because the first half of this match, I thought they were doing a bunch of crazy shit that wasn't getting any reaction. And then by the time they got here, they did the spot where, you know, Mochizuki does that step up corner kick, you know, a middle rope, top rope, and then basically an enziguri to his opponent. And they did that and then turned it into a bridging German on Yoshioka. And I thought that spot was also spectacular. So they're doing a bunch of stuff that I've never seen. They're doing stuff that I think fits the tone of what Dragon Gate is and what their high flying is, but also they still have their DTU identity to them. I don't think this run could have gone better if they tried so far. I am a big fan of what they're doing. I hope they are around for a long time.
Yeah, I didn't realize, other than the DTU Nexto titles, that they were walking in as Triple Crown Tag Team Champions. They could have just taken the Twin Gates and have four belts across Lucha Libre in Japan at this point.
Panther, like, Quattro belts. That's what that's the new Zack Sabre Jr. gimmick, too, I think. Or Mercedes Moné at this point. You know, the other thing that is worth noting is, assuming these timelines align in the way that we're going to want them to, they're doing this without Flamita in Japan. And there's a very strong possibility that Flamita comes back and that we're getting trios matches with the Panthers and Flamita, or the Panthers against Flamita, both of which I desperately want to see.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of possibility with these guys, and it's going to be one of those real exciting things to keep track of while they're in this tour. I don't know how long they're staying. I didn't know if it was just October and they're out after the Corkin in November, or if it's looking towards the end of the year.
I don't know, but I'm going to try to find out. I would like to know the answer to that as well.
The other kind of bridging thing was the, and we talked about it a little bit with El Cielo, the overwhelming things that were happening on the show. There was not a lot, but Shun Mare versus Gajah Dokuro had a pretty decent weekend for Shun Mare. They had Monte and Tanaka in the opener. Ryoya Tanaka had kind of just opener duty across both shows, but with two different partners, but I thought he did pretty well. But then on the evening session, the semi-main event, Madoka Kakuta and Ishin versus Shun Mare, and Kakuta basically catching a super kick out of the Shun Mare evasion super kick sequence and just immediately lariating his head off for the win there. And we've talked a little bit about CLO, but it does kind of feel like that we're at this point with Shun Mare, that within the next few weeks, that if it's going to be Saipatra or whatever you want to call it, is going to be kind of a full-fledged thing. And their attention, at least to me, case still seems like it's firmly focused around Gajah Dokuro and the Triangle Gates.
I thought the match of the weekend was Ishin and Kakuta versus Himari and Shun. And the thing that jumped out to me there, and the thing that's so interesting about this team, is that I think since 2018, at the dawn of the Mochizuki Skywalker tag team, no matter what Shun has done, he's been the guy to stand out in whatever he's doing. You know, that could be in a singles match against an opponent, that could be in a unit, that could be in a tag team, whatever. I don't know if it's health reasons, I don't know if it's interest reasons, I don't know if it's just that Himari is as good as he is, but lately in the Shun Mare tags, I'm coming away focusing on thinking about praising Himari more than I am Shun. And to go back to my previous thought about who I thought won the weekend, the Himari Ishin stuff in this match I thought was unreal. And that is a combination that I still feel like is largely very unexplored. I think that's a future Dead or Alive, Dangerous Gate, Gate of Destiny, Dream Gate match, those two together. And I thought what they did here was the best wrestling I saw all weekend.
Yeah, Ishin taking it back serious and kind of putting aside gremlin mode, and just like the natural chemistry that he has had with some of these younger wrestlers and really like his peers. We've seen it in the past with Junior, we've seen it with others, and it might, interestingly enough, might be best with Himari, and it's a little bit, I know it's Ishin versus Luis Monte on that King of Gate opener Corkin, but there's a part of me that's kind of going like, can we make that Ishin versus Himari? Because Himari is now at a point where I don't know where his weaknesses are. He is clearly one of the most popular people in this promotion at this point. And it does feel like that. You're right. That does feel like a match that if you do now, you can go revisit 4 or 5 years later as that Kobe World main event that you're proposing.
Very much so. No, I was. It's funny. I'm with you there. I was kind of like, oh, maybe Himari Ishin Kingdom Gate. Maybe we make that happen.
Yeah, and I asked you this question of maybe about a month ago about Shun Mare at this point, and just kind of wanted to just get a temperature check. You don't have to go super in depth with this. If we're thinking about tag teams in Dragon Gate this year, where do you have Shun Mare, and where do you think Shun Mare kind of slots in globally? Because it does kind of feel like that they've consistently gone back to this tag team that really came together in Rey de Parejas, and they were one of the clear highlights of this doubleheader in Hakata. And it's at least having me at this point, really, I put Shun Mare above what I've been seeing in AEW and in New Japan by and large. And I wonder where you think they kind of slot.
Really funny you ask me that, because I was going to ask you that. And of my aware, you know, if we're talking straight 2-on-2 tag teams, we'll remove Sky Team and CMLL from this conversation. Sure. I think the Bucks have been incredible. I think they've slowed a little bit in Q3, now into Q4, but I think the first half of the year for the Bucks was remarkable. I think Brodito have to be mentioned. I've really liked the work that they've done, and they've become, you know, the go-to TV workhorses, and I think they deserve a mention. The Alpha Wolf Dragon Bane pairing, I have not seen as much of them as I would like, but I know they are incredibly highly thought of from the people that are locked in on Noah. After that, I'm not sure the conversation should continue without mentioning Shun Mare. And I think other than the Bucks, I'm not sure I've seen a better tag team this year, because you got to remember, and I guess I'm reminding myself of this more than I am anybody else, but they have a whole run as Z-Brats before their current incarnation, which includes the Rey de Parejas finals and the two phenomenal matches they had that night. And I just think that's worth mentioning. You know, I would take the Shun Mare year right now over FTR's year. And for as much as they annoy me, I think FTR has been very good this year. I've seen them in person have great matches. I've seen them on TV have great matches. I would still take the year that Shun Mare has had a little bit over a team like FTR.
That's fair. So far, Himari has only had 147 matches. And let's see how many matches he's had with Shun Skywalker as his tag team partner.
I would imagine if you're including trios matches, then it's an overwhelming majority.
I am failing at cage match here, but it's
a tough search. I've tried to, I don't have the right keywords for it. I don't have the right whatever.
Yeah. But I'm looking, just scrolling down the list, and it's a whole lot of, yeah, there was the Triangle Gate time for where you had Young Brats going in there, but essentially, you don't go too far before you see Shun Skywalker Himari. And it, at like a certain point, maybe you toss in like the Aoyagi brothers a little bit with it. But I think that this is just a down year for tag teams in a lot of ways. Because like the other like constant answers you would hear would be like Astronauts and Magenta. And both of those have injured people in it right now. So it's a very open and what I feel like a vacant field this year.
I should also mention Jetspeed. I think they've been
Jet
phenomenal.
Jetspeed have been a lot of fun. Yeah.
But I would take the year that Shun and Himari have had over Jetspeed. And I think Jetspeed's been incredible. I think they've been a revelation. I did not expect, for as much as I like the guy, I did not think Mike Bailey would translate to mainstream American television wrestling the way that he has. And I think that's entirely because of that tag team.
And I think that work kind of started with the Jake Something tag team, too, to be honest.
You know I have such fond memories of that team, unironically. I really do. So I'm with you there. I think they hit on something in Deadlock with that team. And even though Kevin Knight is a much different partner than Jake Something, you're right. It has the same energy, a very similar energy, I should say, of that Jake Something tag team.
Yeah, it just kind of feels like maybe that is like Speedball's ideal role in a lot of ways.
And there is nothing wrong with that. I mean, he's really, really, really good at that role.
Yeah, considering that it's only been like really, I guess if you want to add in the Moonlight Express long run with Mao and DDT, he's not necessarily ever been a tag team specialist. It's only really been since working with Jake Something and Deadlock for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I really like him as a tag team wrestler, and I really like there was a Jet Speed FTR match in one of the AEW Aragon Ballroom shows I was at this year that I was floored by. I couldn't believe just how good it was in the room. It seemed like it was one of those that was maybe a little bit better in person than it was on TV. Still good on TV, but great stuff there. That being said, I think Shun Mari have had a better year.
Yeah, that's fair. Looking at the rest of this Hakata show, those were kind of like those major storylines that I had, Case. Were there any things else you wanted to really touch on?
So last week we talked about the idea of Susumu coming out of King of Gate and going through those brackets and talking ourselves through all of that. The main event of that second show was a King of Gate winners six-man tag match with Dio Yoshioka and Susumu against Benkei, Keizi, and Yamato. And Yoshioka was the one to pick up the win there with the high fly flow. What that did for me was it illuminated the idea that Susumu is going to wrestle Kakuta and Osaka for the Dreamgate belt on the non-Gate of Nostalgia show that they're doing at the beginning of November. And I'm back on Yoshioka's winning King of Gate. And they're going to do Yoshioka versus Kakuta. I don't know when, I don't know where, but I've fully reverted back to King of Gate 2025 as a Yoshioka vanity tournament.
Yeah, the more I think about it, the Fall of Susumu would be a very fun kind of run for this, especially considering like they've already when they did this this winner's six-man tag, they made it pretty clear. It was like, okay, we are having these guys in this match here, and at least it's kind of tipping the hand a little bit for that. The one name that The thing that makes it tough is because he's likely facing El Cielo, and I think that they're going to try to make this El Cielo guy get over real quick, is Strong Machine J. You know, like, it does feel like that this could, I don't feel like we talked about him too much because he had that mystery opponent, Battle Royal winner as a candidate, but the more I've kind of thought about it over over the weekend, the more I wonder, like, if we're entering kind of the point of time where Jay should be taken into these considerations. I don't know if the bracket this year works out for him. Again, he's facing El Cielo most likely in that first round, and that to me means he's going to lose to El Cielo. But it's something that that kind of warmed its way into my head.
I'm not there with. I just feel like anybody in vibes that isn't Flamita is really cold right now, and I think there's going to be better times to push Jay. I think there's going to be brackets that are more friendly to Jay. And I'm not there on that one. I actually think there's a very strong chance he gets eliminated early.
Yeah, and having him against that mystery opponent does not necessarily forebode you well.
No, not at all.
But that was Hakata. I guess I could run through the full results just so that we have it on audio. Afternoon, it was Tanaka and Shun Mari with the evasion super kick winning for Shun Mari. Genki Horiguchi beat Takashi in a comedy match with a backslide from heaven. Benkei and Hio went up against Minoli, and it was a low blow roll up for Minoli. Natural Vibes versus Love and Peace, Kamei, Rita, and Junior. This was a kind of just a good enough go to intermission trios match. Machine Suplex Hold gets the win for them. We talked about the Twin Gate defense for D Courage. It was the Reptilian Rana getting the win for Daya. The main event of the afternoon session was Paradox versus Gaja Dokoro, Dragon Kid, Yamato, Hulk, and Susumu versus Kakuta, Kai, Ishin, and Kato. It was a go to hospital too into the Jumbo no Kachi, getting Susumu the win on the afternoon session. Evening Panther Press for the Panther Brothers over Tanaka and Fuda. Takashi versus Luis Monte was a shenanigan fest that Luis Monte won with the Super Tigre. Strong Machine J and UT versus DK and Hulk versus Maraha Yasapa was a clown show. Deeply unserious match. UT won out on a pin exchange and Ryo Saito stormed off. Love and Peace versus Gaja Dokoro. And then Kakuta Nishin versus Shun Mari. Kakuta getting the win over Homare. And then the main event, Yoshioka over KZ with a high fly flow, and that were the shows on in Hakata.
I thought Kato was really, really good in that eight-man tag. I continue to be very impressed with him, and I continue to take this victory lap of not doubting and not worrying about Yoshiki Kato. He just needed a chance to get pushed. The unit shook out in a way to where now he can have a greater focus, and I really like the work that he's been doing lately. Not an SFM 50 guy, but somebody that, as he sits right now at 28 years old, I'm going to be circling him as a possible 30 under 30 guy for next year.
Yeah, and at least in Ulti Awards consideration, I feel like the front runner for most improved.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that, but it's got to be him unless you want to go with Hyo, or if you think Kakuta has just taken such a level up that I would listen to an argument there, even if I don't necessarily agree with it. But yeah, no, Kato has become a much better wrestler this year.
Yeah, and you can make the conversation of Hamare starting from zero, but I don't think that kind of plays into the spirit of the category. I feel like Kato or heel turn Kakuta are kind of the interesting candidates there.
Yep.
Let's look at the Kobe Art Center shows. They're running Saturday, Sunday in Art Center. I guess this is the time where Sambo Hall is busy, but the show on the 18th is Love and Peace, Benkei Hyo and Rita versus Strong Machine J, KZ, UT, Natural Vibes, Jackie Kamei and Mochizuki Jr. versus Masaki Mochizuki and Luis Monte, Takashi versus Yoshiki Kato, Paradox versus Gaja Dokoro, Dragon Kid, BB Hulk and Naruki Doi versus Minoli and Ishin, the Royal Sambo for King of Gate that we mentioned before, semi-main event Shunmare versus Madoka, Kakuta, and Kai. In your main event for the 18th show, Yuki Yoshioka, Dragon Daya, Ryo Yatanaka, and Billy Ken Kid versus Yamato, Susumu Yokosuka, Kagatora, and Gurikan Mask. Case, not only are we having the Dawn of Okinawa back in these in Kobe Sambo Hall, but we're also getting the initial trainer of Ryo Yatanaka.
And flag that, because I think this is setting up Tanaka versus Billy Ken Kid in Osaka for the Brave Gate belt.
Yep, that would make sense. And then on the 19th, we have Tanaka, Fuda, and Sahara versus Mochizuki Jr., Daiki, Yanaki Uchi, and Kazuma Kimura. Eight-man tag, Mochi Fuji, Yuzushi Kanda, and Takashi versus Kung Fu Masters, Hoho Lun, Hori, Reach Tomonaga, and Problem Dragon. I would wonder if Problem Dragon's going to get changed out for Super Shenlong too. I think there's a good shot at that. Singles match, Benkei versus UT. We have another Royal Sambo. This time it's Yoshioka, Daya, DK, Hulk, Strong Machine J, KZ, Hyo, Monte, Mino, and Lee. Match 5, Jackie Kamei and Rita versus Arrow Panther and Fight Panther, like you mentioned before. Semi-main event, Shun Skywalker, Hamare, El Cielo versus Madoka Kakuta, Kai and Ishin. And then for the Soryo Twin Dragon Tag Team Championship of Ryukyu Dragon Pro Wrestling, it is the champion team of Gurikan Mask and Yamato versus the original Jimmies, Yokosuka Ichome, Susumu Yokosuka, and Kagatora. They've got a lot of interesting stuff on both of these shows.
I think it's a bummer that these are Art Center shows and not Sambo Hall shows, because in particular, that second show, I'm really excited about a lot of that. I think the opening match with the six young guys is great. Ben and UT, I think, could be a really fun match. Kame and Rita versus the Panthers, like we talked about. LCLO and a six-man tag. And then, what a fun main event that is. There's a lot to like on this show. I worry the atmosphere will hinder it, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's the shame about Art Center. It looks kind of bad on camera, and apparently it's worse in person.
Yes.
And those are the shows that will be on the network. We'll be back next week to touch on them. Case, is there anything else you want to touch on before we get out of here?
There is not.
We will be back with you next week. You could follow us on social media, both Twitter and Blue Sky, at Open Voice Gate. Case is at _ in your case. I'm at Fujiheya. If you'd like to step in the conversation, go into the Voices of Wrestling Discord. That's where there's a Dragon Gate channel with the match of the week was just posted, Case, by Andrew. And it's Masaki Mochizuki versus Ryo Saito from February 6, 2005.
I've heard good things.
Yeah, but that Masaki Mochizuki guy, hell of a guy. Interesting.
Pretty good.
Interesting case there. Pretty good. But also there's the Open the Voice Gate channel, and that's where we post show notes. Whenever we have an episode of those days, we make sure to have the match listing theirs as well as the pen tweet, which has takes you to Case's Google Sheet that has over 75 historical episodes from the Dragon Gate USA Rewind and Rewatch series to the Dragon Gate 25 project to currently those days. We have a lot of stuff there over in the Voices of Wrestling Discord. But Case, I think that's going to do it for us this week. We'll catch y'all next time. Take care, everyone.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger fuel centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
My name is Tyler Fornes, and I am one of the co-hosts of the Good, the Bad, and the Hungy AEW podcast here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcasting Network. We take a broad scope approach to the world of All Elite Wrestling and the entire universe of Tony Khan. We talk about the big matches, the big stars, the promos, the storylines, and we also look at it from a big picture perspective. How are things going to change over the course of the next 10 years with AEW still in the picture? How are companies like WWE going to adapt and adjust to AEW? Are they going to be a similar way like they did with WCW in the late 1990s? Will there be a counterpunch? We talk about all of that and more on The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy every week on the Voice of Wrestling Network.
Hello, do you like New Japan Pro Wrestling? Are you a Shin Nihon freak? If so, check out the Super J-Cast with Joel and Damon on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
And even if you fucking hate New Japan Pro Wrestling, listen to the Super J-Cast anyway. Not just for our great show reviews, analysis, and pastrami sandwiches, but there's also usually some dick jokes somewhere in the obligatory opening 30 minutes of absolute nonsense we chat about every single week. That's the Super J-Cast for all the best talk about New Japan Pro Wrestling, crisps, and pornography.